Today's episode was brought to you by the Harper Home Team, a realty team covering San Diego, Orange County, and Riverside County since 2000. A family business born and raised right here in San Diego with over 1,400 homes represented. And guess what? They're Padres fans. I know this because they're the team I personally use for all my buying and selling of all the homes that I have. I have so many homes. And we've talked a lot about Fernando Tatis Jr., maybe too much. More on that a little later in the show. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, call the Harper Home Team now. 760-456-5846. That's 760-456-5846. Or just go to harperhometeam.com. You have the internet. You can do this. harperhometeam.com. You get a free consultation to build your home buying roadmap. Do it.
Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, thank you so much, voice. Yes, it is the Padres canon. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. Man, last week was a lot of fun. We had a nice walk down memory lane with Will Venable. A lot of people blaming him for that entire stint of mediocrity with the San Diego Padres. And I'll be honest, I thought he wasn't going to make it. Early voting indicated he was not going to make it into the Padres canon, but ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you turned it around, you flipped the script, you got him in, so it's that time. We all need to get on our feet, take off our hats, put them over our hearts. If you don't have a hat, just, put your hands in the air, because, ladies and gentlemen, we need to welcome the third official member of the unofficial Padres canon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Will Venable. But now it's time for one of the ones I was expecting to happen. I knew when I reached out to people, sometimes we'd get a pick that, you know, was a shoo-in. It's a shoo-in for the canon. We all know they'll be in the canon, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe Twitter will decide to take it south, take it a different way. But today is one of those very emotional picks. And that's why I like it, because our guest today doesn't just rely on the stats, because the stats are undeniable. They rely on their heart, their emotions. So enjoy an emotional look back at one of the greatest Padres of all time. Because we have another exciting episode of the Padres canon to bring to you today, a very special guest, local San Diego legend. Some would say the next Ted Leitner, because all he does is do things in front of your face and in your ears. Of course, with us today from the mighty 1090, I almost said mighty 1090. I'm very sorry. I'm not going to edit that out. That's too funny. From whatever it's called now, the Ben and Wood Show, Ben Higgins.
It's quite the honor to be with you, Dallas. It's very complimentary to be compared to the great Ted Leitner. Thank you very much.
I'm willing to call you Uncle. I'm willing to make it happen. Isn't there an Uncle Ben? Wasn't that like a rice company? Yes.
Uncle Ben. There was Benji the dog. There was Ben Gay, the rub that you'd put on your shoulder.
Had to be a couple rough high school years for you with that one. When I mentioned that I was going to be recording with you, my wife said, "The guy from The Bachelor?" And I'm like, "Oh, don't, let's not go there. That's too much." Well, Ben is here to give us a pick for the Padres canon. And if you haven't listened before, the quick rundown is this isn't the Hall of Fame. This isn't the Padres. Like, we know who the Hall of Famers are, and we're going to get some of those, and that's fine. But this is who the fans think should be remembered in Padres franchise history. So if there's a big Padres history book, we open it up. There's a page, and this person's name is on that page. Could be player, executive, broadcaster. It doesn't matter. They belong in the Padres canon. And ultimately, you, the listener, will make that decision. You get to vote on who gets in the canon. Ben, you brought us somebody today that, I'm going to say it's a shoo-in, but you never know with Twitter. Who did you bring us?
As my partner, Stephen Woods, would say, this is low-hanging fruit, but I am going with Trevor Hoffman. However, Dallas, I think the statistical argument is the obvious one. I'm going to kind of lay out the case for Trevor as a person and what he's brought to San Diego, kind of as a human being more than just a baseball player.
Okay, so I like this. Your argument is he's a good baseball guy, and we know how that ended up for Andy Green. So let's dive into a quick background of Trevor Hoffman here. Of course, most people know his story by now because it's a fascinating story. He was originally drafted by the Reds as a shortstop, couldn't make it happen, but then they found out he could throw hard at the time, throw 95. And then he was selected by the Florida Marlins in their expansion draft. And then quickly, after about a year, was traded to the San Diego Padres in a legendary trade now that brought Gary Sheffield to the Marlins and brought Trevor Hoffman to us, and then a bunch of other players that you will never have to think about again in your life. And then the history is made after that. Trevor Hoffman becomes an extremely dominant closer, injured quickly in 94, so he can't throw hard, but then develops one of the game's best pitches in general in his changeup, and really kind of flipped the script a little bit on what a closer could be. The records speak for themselves. That's our background on Trevor Hoffman. We'll get to his later career in a minute, but I want to now throw it to you, Ben. Knowing all of this, give me your argument for Trevor Hoffman's inclusion into the canon.
Well, first of all, Dallas, I think of Andres Berumen often, so I don't know what you're talking about in terms of not thinking about the other guys the Padres acquired along with Trevor. But I do want to start there. I want to start with that trade that brought Trevor Hoffman to San Diego, because Trevor Hoffman was set up to be a failure in San Diego. He was set up to be the guy the Padres got for Gary Sheffield, a triple crown contender in 1992, a shame of a fire sale that would probably be drummed out of the league quickly just to prove the fact that the Padres were dumb and Tom Werner was a bad owner and everything was wrong about baseball going on in San Diego. So there was no guarantee of success when Trevor got here. He wasn't even the closer right away. He had to work into that position as a young guy. He'd only saved two games with the Marlins in his career when he came over. But, you know, he quickly established himself, as you mentioned, with, first of all, he had the speed. Then after the shoulder surgery and the hidden rotator cuff injury, the changeup that made him such a dominant pitcher. Statistically, it's an obvious choice. He's a baseball Hall of Famer. You know, people in more in the know than San Diego Padres fans and podcast followers will say that Trevor Hoffman is one of the game's greats. So, you know, seven-time All-Star, you know, nearly won the Cy Young, should have won the Cy Young Award in 1998, kind of had it ripped away from him by Tom Glavine because a few voters left him off the ballot. We all know the record, 601 saves, first to 400, first to 500, breaking Lee Smith's record first before Mariano Rivera. So statistically, the argument is all there. However, it's the Trevor that I got to know covering the Padres that really makes him part of the Padres canon for me. Mm. You heard about, you know, stories. Trevor is a good teammate, and he was. He was loved by players, young, old, that he played with his entire career. And the reason was he always had their back. He had everyone's back in that clubhouse. And when I first started covering Trevor in 2000, really, I was doing the pre and post game with Craig Elston on AM 600 Kogo at the time. We did it for four straight seasons. He was a pleasure to deal with. Always there for an interview pregame when you needed him, a postgame quote whenever you needed him, especially when they lost. You know, when they won, he got the save. He would let the other guys, you know, get the attention, the offensive stars, the starting pitcher. When he gave up a save, the rare times that he blew one, he was always there to take the heat and keep it off of all of the other teammates. And, you know, fellow Padres absolutely loved him for that. But I got to see it firsthand in, I believe it was 2001, when Craig and I, you know, had been basically lamenting the rash of injuries the Padres had suffered. Surprise, surprise, Padres suffering a rash of injuries. Huh? Yeah. Been going on for a very long time. And fans, as they want to do, were wondering what is going on. And we were doing a post-game show and taking phone calls. And one day we had a conversation. Well, what, maybe the training staff needs to be replaced. What's wrong with the trainers? Are they doing something wrong? What's going on here? And it was kind of a throwaway segment, as, you know, 162 of these tend to be. And it was forgotten by us. But the next day we went for a pregame interview with Trevor Hoffman. And when we got into the Padres clubhouse, first thing he said to us was, "Hey, I can't do the interview." And I was like, "That's weird. He's never said no before. What's going on?" He says, "I need you to make things right with our trainers, Brian Prilliman and his staff at the time, before you go anything. I heard what you guys said last night on the show, and you need to know that none of our injuries are in any way the responsibility of our training staff. They are the best in baseball. They do an amazing job at keeping us as healthy as possible. This is just the way baseball goes sometimes. And so we ended up actually, you know, setting up a meeting with the training staff, a really good talk. You know, they kind of explained things, how things work with their side. And then once we did, and Trevor knew that we had gone and done that, after that point was as hospitable and friendly and accommodating as he was in the very beginning. But he wanted to make sure that he always had his teammates back, no matter whether it was somebody he was playing with or it was a member of staff for the San Diego Padres. And obviously he went on and had his record-setting career, left for a couple of years for Milwaukee, came back and now works in the Padres front office, but has always remained that guy. When I see him coming and just get to say hello, brings you know, just a light to my eyes that, hey, that is Trevor Hoffman. And it's so much more than just getting to meet one of your favorite baseball players and someone. And so it's so much more than just what he brought, you know, onto the baseball field, but what he continues to do, just being an all around great guy and a fun guy to be with. So to me, obviously, yeah, an easy selection, but I wanted to go a little bit deeper as to why I think Trevor Hoffman belongs there.
Well, I like that side of it because obviously statistically, I mean, we built the man a statue. So obviously his stats are there and he deserves to be, you know, forever remembered in copper. But you're right. You know, what's funny about Trevor Hoffman is I actually I've had two interactions with him in my life. One was when I was working at SeaWorld and he was just there with his family. And we noticed him in the crowd. A lot of people come to SeaWorld and they do the, if they're athletes, they do the whole, you know, VIP, nobody gets near us. You know, we have all these people around us, but not him. He was just there hanging out with his family in the stands, but we noticed him and we went up to him and bothered the crap out of him. And he immediately was extremely nice. And we, you know, made it so he could go meet some animals in the back. And he signed an autograph that I still have in my wallet to this day. And that was an amazing thing just to see somebody who was as popular as he was in San Diego, just out and about with people in San Diego. That you just don't see that very often anymore. And my other quick Trevor Hoffman story to kind of back up your, you know, your feelings for him after he got into the Hall of Fame, the year that he was inducted with 2018, if I'm not right, I'm not mistaken there.
2018.
Yeah. We were, Kept Faith. We had media passes to the Storm, to Lake Elsinore, and I live in Temecula. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go, you know, see who I can talk to and interview some players. And the Storm was extremely accommodating and it was awesome. And they took me down into the, you know, into the, to the locker room, the Storm locker room. And who's standing there? Your dog is just upset at you.
And we got a neighbor who gets really mad when they're barking too.
Yeah.
So keep going.
Though, work out. Is your neighbor,
You know, kids are walking by our fence.
That'll do it. That'll happen every time. Yeah, I have my dog is too old and deaf to care about anything. But anyway, I walked into the locker room.
I'm sorry, yeah, right? This doesn't happen on my radio show.
Here we go with your radio show. 95.7, Ben and Woods, number one in the market.
97.3, but who's
what is
counting?
It? What is it?
97.3.
This is the second time I've screwed it up. In the span of 10 minutes, I'm going to apologize later off air, but I have to have a persona on air that I don't care. So anyway, I go into the locker room at the Storm and who's standing there, but Trevor Hoffman, and he's holding his Hall of Fame plaque, like the plaque they gave him. He's just standing there in the locker room, eating the buffet with the players holding his plaque. And I thought that was such a funny thing. And the media person was like, hey, is there anybody specifically you want to talk to? And I just pointed at Trevor and I said, him, I want to talk to him. And they're like, I don't know. And then Trevor heard me because we were standing pretty close to each other. And he's like, yeah, let's go talk. And walked away with me, spent 30 minutes with me just talking and going through his career. Who am I? I didn't know. I was like shaking. It was unbelievable. And he was so generous and kind. And just for that alone, and you know, he was like, oh, I'm just here hanging out with younger players, answering questions, hanging out with them. And you know, you made the Hall of Fame. At that point, you don't have to do anything. And he's there lending his ear to people in Lake Elsinore, which I think once you get to the Hall of Fame, you statistically don't have to go to Lake Elsinore ever in your life, but he did it. So I agree with your claim that he is a very, very nice person. And that alone could get him into the canon. I do want to get your take, though. Obviously, you're probably biased in this, but there was that whole argument for his Hall of Fame inclusion, even for his Cy Young awards, that closers don't deserve this kind of a adoration, that they're just this throwaway role, and that, you know, we've made it bigger than it is. How do you feel about closers in general going into, like, I mean, now that it's also changed around completely almost, now we have openers plus closers. Where do you statistically see that? Do you rate Trevor Hoffman with the Maddoxes and with the Randy Johnsons, or is that just a separate category?
You know, I am a big believer in, you know, baseball sabermetrics and the value that players provide to a team. So I wouldn't necessarily go out and spend a fortune on closers. Mm-hmm. However, I don't believe the Hall of Fame is simply a hall for the people who compile the greatest stats in baseball. Yes, saves are a stat that are kept, but there's incredible value to being the guy who closes out the game, that finishes that, you know, pressure situation in the ninth inning, and to do it for so long and so successfully and better than anyone else has ever done it. I mean, you're comparing him to his peers. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely have no problem with Trevor Hoffman or any other closer who achieves an incredible level of success to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, a lot of closers, you know, they have a short stint of success where they're dominant, and then they go back to either, you know, being regular relievers or kind of falling out. So I think it is a very small club that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as closers, but they absolutely, you know, guys like Trevor Hoffman and Mariano Rivera and even Lee Smith, I do believe deserve to be there.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like a lot of the writers tried to like muddy the waters a bit in that argument, because they're like, well, who's next? Rob Nen? And you're like, well, no, Rob Nen isn't in this conversation.
Yeah, and they'll never have the war of a starting pitcher, you know, in terms of the innings. You know, they don't throw 200 innings a year, so they're not going to develop that kind of value. And if that's all you're looking at, no, yeah, then they'd never make it in. But you have to compare equal players to what they've accomplished and what they were asked to do in the course of their career.
Yeah. And speaking of his war, according to Baseball Reference, is 28.1. I know there's people out there who are going to vote and want to know that. And I gave that to you. And that's all I'm going to give you as far as advanced stats. I think a bigger stat, which I didn't even realize the separation in this until I looked at it, was obviously we know in 98 he was second. He was runner up for the Cy Young Award, like you mentioned, and it went to Tom Glavin. But I totally forget that in 2006, he was also the runner up for the Cy Young Award. With 46 saves, his ERA that year was 2.14. I mean, unbelievable numbers. Wasn't a lot of strikeouts, but that, you know, later in his career, he wasn't a big strikeout guy. I just can't believe that almost 10 years separate, he was second. You got second in voting for the Cy Young Award. That's such an achievement for somebody like that.
And that longevity is something that set him apart from most other closers.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, listen, I'm going to give this. I mean, this is an easy one, I think. I'm just going to give some career stats for people to listen to and kind of go throughout. A lot of people know he played for the Padres for 15 seasons, and then he went and spent the last two seasons in Milwaukee. Kind of a wash. I think that left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths that were Padres fans. They kind of felt like he was just tossed aside. And I feel like he maybe thought that too. I don't know. I put words in his mouth, but that was a weird moment, and his retirement was just all kind of, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but that end of those 2 years just seemed like kind of a terrible way for him to end it.
Yeah, I think that the John Moores and going through the divorce and reducing the payroll, it ended up being a really bad time to become a free agent legend for the San Diego Padres. Yeah. I'm glad he went off and made a little bit more money with the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, if it had poisoned the relationship forever, I would be really sad, but the fact that he's back, he immediately got brought back into the fold. No one cares anymore that he spent a couple of years with the Brewers at the end of his career.
Very, very true. His win-loss record was never going to be a good. The closers' win-loss records are never good. They either take the blame or they get the save. 61-75 career ERA, super impressive, 2.87. That's just an incredible number. Strikeouts, 1,133. And then, as you mentioned, 601 saves. And I have to imagine getting that one had to feel good. Not, you know, not
you don't want to end on a number. It looks like you just got there and just quit.
Exactly. That one had to be real important. So I bring it to you then, Ben Higgins. You brought it to us. And I have to ask, if we are voting on Trevor Hoffman's inclusion into the Padres canon, your vote is a yes?
Big time yes.
And I'll be there right with you. I mean, big time yes. So we take it to you now, Padres Twitter. Right there in the, go to the at the Kept Faith on Twitter, in the pinned tweet at the Kept Faith, you will see your chance to vote. And the decision is ultimately yours. We've made ours. We've given you influence. We've given you the facts. There are very, very few negatives in Trevor Hoffman's career. So I don't even know how to throw that at you and make it matter. But it is up to you. You will make the final decision. Does Trevor Hoffman end up in the Padres canon? Go to the Kept Faith to vote. And also, as always, please listen to Ben and Woods in the morning. You go ahead and say it.
97.3 The Fan.
97.3 The Fan. I don't know why I kept confusing that. I do apologize to you, not to Woods, but
we are mighty. We're not that mighty.
Well, I mean, I think for most of us, we've enjoyed Ben and Woods' success. You guys have done a fantastic job, and I don't mean to be mean to anybody else in morning radio, but let's just say you're kind of the guys right now. So that's awesome.
Never ending rocket ship ride. It really is.
It's awesome. And couldn't happen to two better guys. So go listen to Ben and Woods in the mornings and also follow Ben on Twitter. What's your handle? Cause it's Ben Higgins SD.
Not the Bachelor. At Ben Higgins SD.
Yes. At Ben Higgins SD, not the Bachelor. I'll tell my wife. I'll make sure she knows. Thanks for having me. And thanks for being you.
You had me. Thanks, Dallas.
Look out, San Diego.